Mike Oldfield and Moonlight Shadow. We're not far off now from a lunar eclipse. I think it's tomorrow night, isn't it? About 11:30. And on Sunday evening, there's a programme on about moon power as part of the Natural World series on BBC Two. I'll tell you more about that in a few moments' time. But it has been an exciting year for astronomers. Mars came its closest to Earth for thousands of years. We had glorious clear summer nights for stargazing. And recently, there's been some rather startling solar activity. It's enough to make you buy a telescope. Although budding astronomers will one day be able to enjoy the facilities of Oxfordshire's first public observatory, thanks to funding from the Millennium Awards scheme. As dusk fell on Monday, I went to Hanwell, near Banbury, to meet Christopher Taylor and David Brierley. A walk through a wooded area of Christopher's garden took us to the site of the observatory, but the telescopes there weren't quite what I'd expected to see.
That's my own 12.5-inch telescope. It's a 12.5-inch reflector with a mirror, the 12.5-inch mirror at the bottom, made in 1908 by a famous maker of the time, George Calver. And the telescope was built, I think, in the 1930s, bought in 1949 by Roderick MacIvor Patton, who then gave the telescope to me in the 1960s. And I've been using it off and on ever since then. And on a dark night from here, even with that, which is the smallest of the main instruments on site here now, I can see galaxies 350 or 400 million light years away, just looking through the eyepiece with the eye, not any fancy electronic equipment to detect it, just looking at it. That's fully operational, of course, and regularly used. And over there is the John Wall 30-inch refractor, which is the largest refractor that has ever been operated in the United Kingdom. Was built about 3 years ago by John Wall in Dartford in Kent. And when he was moving house, he wanted to find a good home for it. And in the meantime, he and I had got in touch about other optical matters. And the upshot was that I said to him, well, John, we can give the telescope a good home at the Hanwell Community Observatory. And so here we are.
It's an amazing looking thing. I'm totally different to this. I mean, none of these look like the kind of telescopes that most of us will think of when you say a telescope.
No, none of them are the sort of typical cylindrical spyglass type of telescope, though the John Wall telescope is basically that type of telescope. It just doesn't look like it.
No.
all made of blue painted Dexian and bits and pieces of all sorts of things that John had scrounged from factory clearances and goodness knows where over the years. The main bearings, in fact, are gold plated stainless steel, which were not intended as bearings at all, but as a pressure casing to protect the repeater units on transatlantic telephone cables.
Ah.
And somebody was throwing out a few of those, so John thought, that would do for nice roller bearings. And
it's obviously a very resourceful man.
yes, alternative technology and brilliant use of the salvage market.
It doesn't look terribly easy to use from down here, because surely that's the eyepiece way up there.
Yes, both that and my 12.5-inch telescope are instruments that need a stepladder or whatever to get up to the eyepiece. Neither of them were designed specifically as public use telescopes. The problem about that, of course, is that you're having to clamber up a perhaps 8 or 9 foot high stepladder in the dark, and that's fine for us, you know, members of the group, but not for public stargazing evening so much. Although eventually we may use the John Wall telescope for that, with a big platform of some sort possibly under it. But we've also gone on to design as the 30-inch reflector, which was specifically designed as a public use instrument, and the main point about that is that the eyepiece remains absolutely fixed at a convenient standing height above a big gallery where people will stand to look through the eyepiece, and so there'd be no question of clambering about on ladders and craning the neck or anything like that. You just stand there and look horizontally straight through the eyepiece, and wherever the telescope points, that's where the eyepiece will be. That is the main instrument that we'll be using for the public stargazing evenings when that is complete.
To the layperson, i.e. me, this just looks like a load of steel girders, to be honest.
Yes. Well, that's what it is. It's all galvanised steel girders, I-section beams and big heavy 100mm angle and so on. In fact, it was made up by one of the local steel fabricators in Banbury. Essentially the same methods as they use for fabricating steel frames of steel-framed buildings. But they did a very nice job of it. And David's his company, Betgate, have made the Observer Gallery, which is not in place at the moment. That's still in pieces in a shed
David, let's ask you then. I mean, how long have you been into astronomy?
Well, I've been involved in astronomy for some 40 years now, I expect. This is the first time I've ever been involved in a project like this. To build a 30-inch really is every amateur astronomer's dream, and here we are, a group of individuals together, and we're actually doing it and achieving it, and for public use.
When it comes to things like putting in the lenses and mirrors and things, is there a certain amount of trial and error, or is there a sort of established a pattern for that?
There is an established pattern. We know approximately where they're going, and then we have to what we call collimate them, which means make sure the light path is correct. And we'll do this, and it will operate 100%.
So when this is finished then, and you're hoping that'll be sooner rather than later, what are you planning to do here as a public observatory?
Well, we'll run hosted public stargazing evenings. We hope perhaps two or three times a month regularly through the darker months of the year. Not midsummer, because it's so late before it's dark, but for perhaps 8 months of the year. The aim is to have a regular programme of two or three evenings a month when anybody, members of the general public, people who've never looked through a telescope before here, and getting them up to the eyepiece there and letting them see some of the amazing things there are in the sky. But we hope that two or three evenings a month will be a realistic aim for that, and each of those evenings will be run and hosted by perhaps two or maybe three of the members of the group.
How many do you have in your group, David?
There's about 15 of us at the moment, 15 active members, coming back and forth. We meet generally once a month, and I think most group members are involved with other societies. We're also linked with Stratford. I personally am linked with Northampton. And, of course, Christopher and I both attend the British Astronomical Association's meeting.
What are the things that excite you about astronomy?
Deep space, really. Things which are outside our solar system. Double stars, variable stars, galaxies, globular clusters. It's all very exciting. Really beautiful things to see.
What do you think has been the most interesting thing you've seen?
The Andromeda galaxy, really. We call it Messier 31. It's nearest major galaxy. It's an amazing sight. It takes up over 3 degrees of the sky. And it's 2 million plus light years away. So we're looking at light which has been travelling for 2 million years. And it really makes you think just what we are and where we're coming from.
There doesn't seem to be much sky through the trees. Is this an ideal location for an observatory?
It was the best available, really, in the grounds here. We, for one thing, didn't want a big heap of not terribly beautiful machinery stuck in the most prominent of places in the middle of an open lawn. And in any case, actually, even discounting that, this does really have the best access to the most important parts of the sky that we had available here, without going a lot further away from the house. Anyway, the point is that the most open view here is to the south. So if you're patient and you wait for the right time of night or the right time of year, everything has to cross that part of the sky. So it's really just a matter of scheduling the observing for the time when, in any case, the object would be seen best, which is when it's due south.
When you come down to do some stargazing, how long typically might you spend down here on your own?
I mean, it could be from as little as half an hour, especially if it clouds over. Or I may just happen to have done the one particular thing that I came out to do that evening. These days I don't think I spend more than about 3 or 4 hours at a time out here. In my teens, I used to stay out all night sometimes until the dawn came up and go to bed as the dawn chorus was striking up. But I haven't done that for a long time. So,
what records do you keep of what you've seen?
I keep what I call the OBS books. I have a continuous record in that in those going back to the summer of 1971. It's now sort of 5 volumes, probably about 1,500 pages all told, something like that. Professional astronomers used to say that 1 hour in the dome at night often generates 6 hours at the desk the following day.
That's not quite the least fun bit.
Yes.
Is this a passion shared by the rest of your family?
My wife's gone through a considerable learning curve since being married to me, but it wasn't something that she came to our marriage with, but she does get, you know, into the spirit of the thing really quite deeply sometimes, and her eyes are better than mine, for instance, so if I want somebody to test whether something is visible with the unaided eye, I go and ask Rowena to have a look at it, because I'm slightly short-sighted,
right.
So and her eyes are excellent.
What about complete amateurs, people who've never looked through?
First-timers.
Yeah, what sort of reaction do you get?
Oh, I mean, a huge range from sort of complete stony-faced, you can see somebody thinking, well, I don't know what all the fuss is about, on the one hand, but actually much more often people are very struck by it. For instance, if Saturn happens to be on the menu for that particular evening, I've often had the experience with people who've never looked through a telescope before. You swing the telescope on Saturn and they look through the eyepiece and they practically fall off the stepladder. You know, oh my God, I mean, you must have put a picture in the telescope. This can't be real. It's that amazing.
Christopher, we seem to have been defeated by the good old British weather.
Yes, I'm afraid so, yes. One has to be very patient as an astronomer in England. You know, people really make it out to be impossible sometimes and that we never have good skies here, and that isn't true. When the sky is clear here, it's sometimes really, you know, extremely good. We often, in fact, in this part of the country, get what astronomers call good seeing conditions, which actually has a technical meaning. They don't just mean the sky is clear and looks pretty to the unaided eye, but that the air is very steady. And when you look through a telescope, the image is extremely sharp. Because a lot of impressive-looking nights, as seen by the unaided eye, brilliant stars, looks very pretty and so on, are completely useless through a telescope. The moment you put a telescope on anything, it looks as though you're looking through boiling water.
Ah.
It's the turbulence in the Earth's atmosphere. And there are some parts of the world where they have far more clear skies than we do. But where they have far fewer nights when the seeing is really good.
Well, I'll come back to the Hanwell Community Observatory when you're up and running, and hopefully when that big cloud isn't obscuring the moon.
Yes.
Thank you very much indeed for inviting me along. Well, there we are. That was Monday evening. This Saturday, tomorrow night, is the next lunar eclipse. Starts about 11:30 when the shadow of the Earth falls across the face of the moon. The period of totality will start about 1 o'clock on Sunday morning, if you're up for that, and lasts for about 2 hours. There's a fascinating programme, what looks as if it's going to be fascinating, on Sunday evening on BBC Two. It's part of the Natural World series. It's called Moon Power, and it's on at 5:25. It'll be dark then, so you can put the telly on. If you're like me, I think I shouldn't put the telly on until it goes dark. And you can find out more about the Hanwell Observatory by logging onto their website. It's www.hanwellobservatory.org.uk. We'll put that address onto the Action Desk if you want to find out more about the Hanwell Observatory. And we look forward to it opening sometime next year. Just a quick look at a couple of things that are happening over the next few days. The British Sugarcraft Guild, Thames Valley